You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
So thank you all for being here. My name is Beth and I have come to Greenbelt this weekend with a group of people called Playful. Welcome, do come in, wherever you are comfortable. I was asked to talk about play and the power of play, so that's what I have come to do. But what I would also like to do is find out about you guys as well. I think you're all playful people. I mean, look where we are. It's a really lovely space to be in. So I don't really know how this session is going to go, because much like play, it's not about an outcome. It's about a journey and not a destination. So I come with lots of knowledge and not much preparation. So we're going to talk about play. I'm going to ask you about play. And by the end of the day, I want us to think about moving forward, where play can be in our lives more. So for anybody who doesn't necessarily want to sit on a chair for ages and is getting a bit wiggly, I have just put some paper and pens in the middle of the room. They are permanent markers, anybody who is cautious. So if you at any point just think, do you know what I want to do? I want to go and draw a picture. That's absolutely fine. Do what you need to do. Be where you need to be and just be comfortable. Play. So my journey into play started when I had children and I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. So I went and did a degree in play. I actually spent 3 years studying play and it was the most transformative experience I've ever had, because I learned so much about how powerful play can be physically, emotionally, mentally, but also spiritually. The way we feel is really playful at times. And I learned so much from lots of different theorists and people who've been studying play and working with play for a long time. And I will drop their names in at different points during this chat. And if you want me to clarify anything, or if you've got any questions, you ask at the end. So we start with the definition of play. In the UK, there are 4 play associations: Play England, Play Wales, Play Scotland and Playboard Northern Ireland. And all of them have agreed that the definition of play is that it is freely chosen, personally directed and intrinsically motivated. So we've got this drive, we've got this feeling that we want to play, and then we choose where that is. So when we're looking at things that we might play with, those things that are really positive, that really engages, are often the most simplest. So a stick or a cardboard box. Has anyone experienced that thing of you open a toy, but it's the cardboard box that is the thing that draws them to it? Is that something you recognize? That's because a cardboard box can be anything. It can be a drum, it can be a house, it can be a place that the cat sits, it can be something completely out there in your imagination. You are bringing yourself to that object. It's not telling you what to do. And that's the difference with play. Play is not an activity. It doesn't have an outcome. We're not being taken through steps to get to a particular place. It's a way of being to be able to move through life. You are more than welcome to come in if you want. You're more than welcome to pass by. There are loads of chairs. Come sit in a circle. With that in mind, the reason why myself and so many of the people I know who work with play are so passionate is because there's a bit of a crisis in childhood and a bit of a crisis in play in the UK at the moment. So, who here was born after the year 2000? Greenbelt, say Greenbelt.
Greenbelt.
Ooh. Oh, hello. Definitely got one. Who here was born after the 1990s? Yay! Who here was born after the 1980s? Who here was born after the 1970s? 60s? 50s? Amazing. So, for those of us that have been around a bit longer, do you remember the days when there would be children on the street for those of us that live now and have a shorter time experience, there aren't so many kids on the streets anymore, are there? So back in the day, when you'd go out, there'd be children around, children of all different ages. The younger ones would be looking up to the older ones, going, oh, what are they doing? They'd be looking out, a kind of informal supervision. There'd be tensions, there'd be risks taken, there'd be challenges. That's not what we're seeing in the environment that we walk through now. So any opportunity we have to bring that quality of play is really, really important. And that's why we're so passionate. That's why we want to talk about it. So on the festival, we're here with Play Shapes down at the bottom. I don't know if you've seen them. It goes back to that open-ended free play experience. They're not telling you what to do. Every session that is run will be dictated, be formed, be shaped by the people who come to that session and the decisions they want to bring. Can you all think, when you think about play, are you thinking about it from a professional point of view? Are you thinking about it because you spend time with children? Or are you thinking about it because you're remembering your own play experience? So when I say the word play, who here thinks about it from a kind of professional point of view? Yeah. Who here thinks about it because they're spending time with children? Yeah, and who here is thinking about it because they are playful, they're remembering their own play? Okay, there's a no. Okay, brilliant. So as adults, we feel we can't play because we've got things to do, places to be, timescales to be at. And that's really important. I would also say, to some extent, that is what's happening for children now. The time in which children are able to play has been reduced. The space in which children are able to play has been reduced. And the permission to play has been reduced. So a couple of anecdotes. I did a wonderful research project with the university, and I had a brilliant academic supervisor. And he said that the children on his street had been chalking on the street, and his neighbour had come over and said, you laugh. You can imagine what he said. I don't like these children chalking on the street. And my academic supervisor went away and said, okay. Went into his attic, found the photographs of that man's children chalking on the street 30 years ago. As we get older, there is a tendency to maybe forget what it is like to have the impulse of youth and to be children. And we can often look on those behaviours differently, can't we? I see a couple of people nodding, yeah? Who here played outside when they were younger? Amazing. Who here played with friends? Who here played alone? Who here sometimes did things that maybe the adults wouldn't have liked? Yeah, amazing. Does anyone want to share any of those amazing experiences? So I've spent the last 25 years going around asking these questions of people who are shaping space, urban designers, architects, spatial designers. One of them told me they used to go down to the train tracks and they used to jump off the bridge onto the moving trains. Yeah. I had another senior architect who ran a very prestigious practice tell me they used to charge the mates 2p to go down the sewers. Yeah. The man that I used to work for, he owned 5 businesses. He was a very successful businessman. They used to play splits. Which is basically you throw in a knife at your feet and the last one to move your feet is like, you know, the winner. There's lots and lots of play that is challenging and risky. And there's lots of play that we used to see back in the day that we would be horrified at seeing our own little people engaging in. But play is a really low stakes area in which to fail, in which to make mistakes, and in which to build resilience. So all of those different aspects are really important, enabling children to experience challenge and risk and test things out. The average age of a child playing out on their own now is 12, whereas back in the day, 5, 6, 7, if you were out on the street and there were other children about, you might be 5, 6, 7 and you'd be out playing. I can see you nodding, yeah? Whereas now we're delaying that opportunity for children to go out and explore, to learn for themselves. And there are clear factors to that. We see lots more cars on the road. We don't want road traffic accidents. People have cautions. So there are people out there who are working really stridently to build on that time, space and permission to play. This is all great. What do we actually mean when I talk about play? So I'm going to ask you now, anyone who wants to just offer up something, what is play?
Fun.
Play is fun. Really is fun. Anything else? It's exploring. What do you mean by exploring? Like, yeah, so exploring spaces and the environment, isn't it? Yeah.
So, doing something without a plan purpose, you don't know what's going to happen.
Amazing. Doing something without a plan purpose goes back to that thing of me saying, you know, start this session going, haven't got a really strong structure, not got an outcome, not got some, you know.
You know what, I used to work with
So you talked there about working in early years. Who here works in the education sector, whether early years or has worked in that or education? Amazing. Who here works in like the health sector? Amazing. Who here works in spatial development, like urban design or architecture or forestry? Or yeah? Okay, yeah, brilliant. Any space that we work, or so thinking about play from that professional point of view, any space that we work where we know children will meander through, we have a real opportunity to build in what we call the kind of lost opportunity to experience that free play. There's a worker, a play worker called Bob Hughes. Has anybody heard of Bob Hughes? No, okay. So Bob Hughes, a fantastic man. He wrote a couple of books. One was called The Taxonomy of Play Types, which is what I'm going to just talk about now. And he also wrote a really good book called The Evolutionary framework of play. When he talks about evolutionary framework of play, he's talking about the fact that we are a developing species and the environments that we create impact the future of those people coming through. Did you know that Dutch blue tits have different shaped beaks to the ones in Britain? Because in Britain, we put lots of bird feeders out. So their beaks have become smaller and narrower and longer to be able to get the fur out the bird feeders, yeah? That's in like 30 years that change has happened. You think about the environments we're creating for our children and what that is impacting on them, yeah? So these spaces that we create, he talked about compensating for the loss of that free play. That free play that you talked about, the idea of like being able to be out there and play. Play can impact on so many different levels. Play can be a real useful tool in education. So there's play for learning. There's play for connection. Working in health, there was a really lovely anecdote I heard about a play specialist who was working in the Children's Hospital in Sheffield, where I'm from. Next door is the cancer hospital, and these children who were in the children's hospital but had cancer, they had a lot of medication going through their little systems, and they were being taken for MRIs, and it's quite a thing having an MRI, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever had one, but it's a bit, you know, you have to stay very still, So they were sedating the children to put them through the MRI machines. This play specialist used play to change that. She got a little bit of string, and the child would hold the string in the machine. Nobody else can be in the room. She'd be out the room, and they'd start playing a game where they tug the string, and she'd tug back. Tug, 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 tug. That play enabled those children to go through that process without having to take additional medications that they really didn't need. Play. So play can be used in all sorts of different ways. But when we're talking about this ability to just have free play, it's a completely different thing. Before we leave this session today, I'd like you to think about your life, the people around you and your work. And I want us all to think about a commitment that we could make to bring more play into that. You talked about play for yourself. Maybe it's something for you to be able to do, to be more playful. Maybe it's about, you know, something within your environment or you work within a school. You know, what is it? So we're going to walk away and try and make those commitments. Are there any questions of anything that I've said so far? Or is there anything that people are thinking, I don't quite agree with this? Or how does one play as an adult? That's a really interesting question. I think it is really hard when there is a real culture of like, right, we've got to be really sensible now. My play, for, you know, talk about me. I spent quite a lot of my 20s clowning. I do quite a lot of clowning. So I like to go and do different stuff. I also like to go dancing. I don't play like I played as a child. But even something like coming to a festival, you see people, they're not dressing like they would do at Wednesday at 3:30, are they? Yeah? I mean, you know, beautifully glittered up. Is that your work look? No. So we find different ways to play. There's no expectation that we are coming into it with the child's mind because we're not children. We are adults. Finding ways to be creative, being creative, being crafty. All sorts of different things can be play. But it's also about an approach, and it comes from that, I don't have an outcome for this. I mean, does anybody here have a way that they play that they think could answer that question?
Take any opportunity you can find to be upside down.
Can you expand on that?
I in Oxford wear a lot of bike racks. And often there's a whole load in a row. And you can do a forward roll over one and then go straight. And you can do, like, until you start to feel so nauseous, you might throw up. I can't do as many as I could do when I was little. I get nauseous more quickly. But things like that for me, like actually, and if I'm sat on a bench and the conversation won't be disoriented by me turning upside down, I might turn upside down. Because the world is too boring and predictable. That would be my main piece of advice.
I think creative is a good way to learn. Sometimes I paint and I set out to paint something. But then, if you've got paint that you've squirted into a tray and you don't want to waste them, then that's a really great opportunity to play, just to use paint for nothing and see what happens.
So you're not thinking about the outcome?
Yeah.
And you're not thinking about the judgment? You're thinking...
It's very hard not to think about the judgment.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely, absolutely. I think it's very much about context. I mean, you look at people who do parkour and the free running. I've seen some beautiful geriatric parkour. Have you ever seen any of those videos? Just people like, you know, I certainly can't jump the way I used to when I was younger, but, you know, just having a little hop on a curb, it's okay, you know, a little roll on a bench, whatever. Yeah, it's really good. Any other ideas? So we've got using that physical environment we're in to be playful with it. We've got that creativity of using paints and not worrying about the outcome.
Spaces that you've been in 100 times, like in a completely new way, like is there a vent in the wall that you've never noticed because it's always there? Like the space that you're walking in, you've never walked in that same, like, in that exact same space, like how it could be, like, the actual architecture of, like, every space that you're at, like, looking at old boring things as new places. Like, if I was a new person, a child, what would I notice about the room that I'm at?
And that's brilliant. That's a great idea. When I used to run a lot of dance workshops when I was younger, and I used to work in the field of working with people who had different disabilities. And I once did a workshop where we were looking at the sensory aspect of dance, and we did it all without sight, so either blindfolded or we were closed eyes. I was in a space that I worked in, so I was really familiar with this space. I knew where the walls were, I knew where the lights were, I knew what I had to do to, you know, close the room down at the end of the day, I knew what the materials were. As soon as I stepped into that space, it was a different space because I couldn't see any of those things. There was all that information I hadn't gathered through my eyes, and it was like, yeah, you're then using touch and trying to work out and feel and proprioception. Yeah.
I agree with anyone who was saying, but I used to be in Botswana, and there's a bumper sticker on the back of Land Rover, which was my favourite, and that said, it's never too late to have a good childhood. And I think it's great. I remember that.
Yeah.
It's just so serious so much of the time.
We are so serious.
And that's not right, because that's not how good ways to be.
I think you're right, absolutely.
Can I just say something?
Please.
Sorry, don't look worried. For anybody who doesn't realise, your bit of the session is being recorded. So when there's an interesting comment or question, you're doing it a lot, but could you repeat it?
Repeat.
So it picks up on the recording.
I will do my very best.
Thank you.
I will do my very best. So we've had some really interesting comments about doing roly-polies on cycle racks, and we've just had a brilliant bumper sticker which said it's never too late to have a good childhood. Amazing. Hi. A lot of adults play on their phones, so then we get into the realm of screen versus play. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Isn't it a tricky one? I mean, I've got my phone here because I'm using my timer on it, and my phone's always with me. Use a lot of public transport. One of the things I find really difficult is there's a lot of adult conversation about the way that screens impact children. But when I'm on a bus, it's all the adults that are on the phones, and the little toddlers are sitting in a chair desperately trying to make eye contact with people, and there's no one there to make eye contact with. So it's something to think about. We're always modelling behaviour. Being playful is a modelling behaviour. Being kind is a modelling behaviour. I can feel it in this festival. People are kind here. You can feel it. And it's been modelled by the people you spend your time with. It's a really loving feeling in this festival. That's modelling. Wow, maybe we do the same with our phones. Maybe we do the same with play. Had an interesting conversation with a landscape architect at an event that we ran over in Ireland. And she had this realisation when we were talking about challenge and risk. She said, I'm almost frightened to let my child do things that are risky because I don't have the time to deal with it if they hurt themselves, because she was so busy. And I think it's really important to take that time for ourselves to find our own playfulness, but also to be able to allow the children around us to just have our focus and have our attention. There's always tomorrow to do the dishes or fold the laundry or, you know, plan the world takeover, whatever it is. So talking about depriving children of childhood, saying that children are being encouraged to grow up older, it was a really interesting, and it is cultural. It is cultural, so it means we can change it. I used to have a room in my house that I used to let out a lot, and I had a young Spanish student come and stay with me, and he was 14. And when he came and stayed with us, I live next door, a really beautiful park. And he came to me one day and he said, oh, Beth, can I borrow a knife? And I said, yeah, that's fine. What do you want to use it for? suddenly thought, oh, maybe I better check him. What is it you want to use it for? And they went in the park and they were making dens. So they were building dens at 14. Whereas my children, who'd grown up in urban Sheffield, too cool for school at 12. And that comes back to that, the ages we're letting our children play out. It's really difficult because as carers, as adults with children in our lives, we don't want them to be in a vulnerable position. But we're giving them more risk by not allowing them to find those things for themselves. What is it they say, you know, teaching a man to fish and fishing for them? What's the phrase? Does anyone know?
Give a man a fish and he'll eat today. Give a man a fishing rod and he'll eat forever.
Teach a man to fish. Yeah. Give a man a fish and he'll eat today. Teach a man to fish. It's the same with our children. They have to know how to make those decisions and find their own boundaries and make their own connections. So I sat through the first hour of our play shape session today. We're here all weekend, hour long sessions. The first session, the children and adults started playing separately. Then they start to connect through play. The theoretical term, they call it the ludic third. So play is like the third player, isn't it? So through play, they start to connect. And by the end of the first session, you were there, Naomi, they were all playing together, weren't they? They all built one great giant structure. Do you know what was happening there? Collaboration. Conflict resolution, not revolution. That's tomorrow's job. Conflict resolution. There were some tensions. Somebody had a bit of a meltdown, but they dealt with it. They did a bit of emotional regulation. They learnt about their emotions through play. There was lots of conversation going on, lots of communication. Play is a real ability to connect and build. That happens in communities. You see it where the children start to play, then the adults that are around them start to get to know each other. They're like this amazing resource of this kind of richness where they connect and then other people start to connect and then you build communities. So spaces for play, time for play and permission to play is absolutely fundamental. I'm going to give you the chance now to have a think about the work that you do, the life that you do, the land that you have, the projects you work on. And just have a little think, is there the opportunity for you to find a way? I'm going to give you all a postcard. I'm going to pass these postcards around. Find a way to where can you grow that play and that experience? I might collect them in and I might read some of them out. Would that be all right? Are we going all right? Yeah, okay. If I do this, if there isn't enough, let me know. I've got a post-it note. Do you want pens? Oh. Can you, yeah, do that. Brilliant. Postcards, pens, just take the lot. I'll go around and drop some more off. You're very, very welcome. Woo. Amazing. Thank you. Think about whether it's the work that you're doing or the life that you have or the spaces that you operate and just think about if there's ways you can, or even your own life. How can you be more playful? Ooh. Amazing. I mean, you know, take one plus one on. Amazing. Oh, you've got a postcard. You've got one already. Has everyone got a pen?
Where is it in our lives or work or in our...
Whatever makes most sense to you. So it might be that you've got a very, you know, you might be the Prime Minister. What are you going to do to create a policy in the environment that makes play more viable? You might work in a school. You might own a farm. Yeah, so just on that, somebody just said, oh, I think actually, the new Prime Minister. So just on that, in 2008, there was a national play policy. And it brought in the idea that play was really important. And they invested in play. They invested in playgrounds, but then they also did lots of things about trying to embed really playful stuff. Is everyone good for pens? Hello. Look at this, you see. This is where it all starts. Just because our little friend has made such a beautiful appearance just at the right time. Play impacts the brain as well. So what's going on for this little person at the moment, this 0 to 5 age? The brain is growing at an absolutely stupendous rate. And all the different experiences are activating lots of little neurons in the brain, and all these different synapses are happening. And there's lots and lots of brain connections that are being made. So the more exciting the environment, the more textures, tastes, exploring the world. So first of all, exploring the body when you arrive on this amazing planet, you know, lots of wriggles. What does my voice sound like? Then starting to explore language. Lots of touch goes on in those early years. Lots of putting things in your mouth and tasting things. Lots of trying things out. As you get a bit older, you're exploring the world around you and the environment around you and the social environment around you. And then when you're talking about teenagers and that kind of deprivation of childhood, those adolescent years, all sorts of things are happening in the brain. Lots of editing going on. So it's a kind of use it or lose it scenario. So if children are still playing in those adolescent years, they're still retaining that creativity and that playfulness. But otherwise, they just kind of like edit it out. And I think that's why we end up, like we said, in adulthood, being a little bit more restricted. Unless you're this lovely person over here who sees a cycle rack and decides to parkour it. So that transition from primary school where things were more creative into a secondary school where there were expectations, outcomes, yeah, and then the idea that things might be wrong. And I think what you explain there is really fundamental, because I see that happening earlier in the education system. When I was at school, dance and drama were in the curriculum. We used to make boats. We used to do woodwork.
I've seen it with my daughter's homework already.
Yeah. Spag. Spelling and grammar. Spelling and grammar. Spelling and grammar. And I mean, the richness of art and culture and creativity and that connection. I may be wrong. Please challenge me if I am. But I don't think you're going to have an accountant on the main stage on Sunday night. Yeah. People value art and music. And those kind of, those things that make us feel, yeah? And yet, where is the space for them in that education system? We'll do that one. But before, I think I've talked enough. So if you are feeling brave enough, you're more than welcome to either pass your card to me if you don't want to. I will read it. I think you guys should read them out. We'll just take this question comment first. Yeah, so the language we use being really important. Just talking about how when you move from primary school and you talk about the playground, and then you go to secondary school and it's referred to as the courtyard. I think that's fundamentally really important. And that's the thing about play as well. When you ask children about play, it's like sometimes, you know, they don't really know what you're talking about because they're just doing what they're doing. Playing isn't a thing for them. That's just the way that they're being. So the language around play becomes really important. So do we have anybody who's thought about the way that they can build play into their life? and that wants to share it or talk about it. Beautiful. I'm going to repeat it for the sake of the recording. So your mum. Okay, so talking about taking into motherhood, leaving behind some of the ways brought up where seriousness, purpose and worthiness was more fundamental, and actually allowing yourself with your child to be silly, spontaneous, fun, and just remember that as you're being mum as well. Beautiful. Should we do a round of applause? Hi, that's brilliant. So you talk about the privilege of playing with your grandchildren. Can I ask you a question? Do you think you're more playful with your grandchildren than you were with your children?
I think I have
the space to be more playful. Yeah. You're focusing on them. Yeah, lovely. Okay. I know, isn't it? Yeah. So the privilege of playing with your grandchildren, playing within your relationship, keeping that spirit alive in there, and playing with the kitten. Yeah. So all mammals play. It's not just humans.
I coach cricket on a Friday evening to children under 8, and I make that like a game.
So you're taking cricket, which is a structured event, but you're using play within it to keep them engaged and keep them interested. Brilliant. Hello. Oh, I think that's a great question. So talking about language again, playing the piano, playing cards, and then the question, which I think is a great question, should we be copying the children?
Yeah.
I think that's something as well, the generosity of children. You know, I mean, I saw it this morning. I see it all the time, but I saw it this morning in those sessions. You know, one child was building one element and another child came across and said, well, can I borrow that wall for my bin? Yeah, okay. You know, it's like, yeah, and then you get involved. Yeah. Are there any others? Any other? Yeah, hi.
I think maybe easy one.
So, yeah, again, taking that outcome-driven aspect out of the way in which you behave and the way that you engage with the things that you enjoy. Beautiful.
Yeah,
lovely. So again, a space where community is created through playful things like saying between 4 and midnight we're going to play games, and multi-generational. So you've got those younger children coming through going, this is what it's like to be around people who like to play. And, you know, bringing that in as they get older and maybe doing the same things themselves. Really valuable, lovely anecdote. Hi. Turning chores into opportunities to play. So an example might be, channeling your inner Mary Poppins, or even your outer Mary Poppins, however, yeah. Brilliant. Well, I think you've all been really generous with your stories, generous with your time. How are we doing? I think we're probably, yeah, we've got about 15 minutes left. If there's anything else you want to ask or talk about, I'm really happy to do that. I would... Perhaps we should play. Well, what I would say is I would really like to open the invitation out to all of you, whatever your age, to come down to our play shapes and come and play with play shapes. So we're down in the, what would we call it? The Dell? The field? The children's field. Next to, ta-da! And we're going to be there every day. And whatever your age or state of mind, you are welcome. We're doing little hourly sessions. You can come down and play with the play shapes and just get a real sense of what we've been talking about today. Yeah? Yeah, I think it's really difficult. So there's somebody over in the other corner that said you were both forestry and did you do sort of like outdoor-y play stuff? Do you do stuff... alternative learning provisions. So some of it is about there are alternatives. So the, you know, I'm not saying this is what you're doing, but there's alternative provisions. There's things like forest schools where it's very much about self-esteem rather than outcome related things. So there are lots of opportunities like that. But I would say for me at the moment, it's about pushing the system. And as I say, in 2008, when there was a play strategy, it felt like we were on the edge of people moving towards a more playful approach. That changed, but stuff is happening. So there is, my brain isn't allowing me to remember his name. I think his name's Paul Lindley. There's lots of organisations now that are working together. Paul Lindley is his name. And I think it's Foundation for Childhood. They're pushing. Look on the Play England website. They're pushing for a new play strategy. And that play strategy is not about play in a defined, we're just going to talk about play. It's about saying, when we build our cities, make them playful. When we build our policies, our national policies, when we look at our education system, where is play in this? Because we are seeing the impact of decades of deprivation of play. And it's impacting our young people and it's impacting us. And so there are lots of organisations, but there is a real push. They've been having cross-party talks to build play back in, to planning policy, to education policy. Play England is a really good resource to find the ways in which there might be something that you can get involved with. So right from a strategic level, really high level, down to the day-to-day stuff, there are things happening. I started in play 25 years ago. We were having these conversations about the deprivation of play then. We're seeing the impact of it really strongly now. Delayed development in children. Lack of core stability, inability to hold a pencil at four, mental health issues, you know, the list goes on. There is an impact of not having that play. But right now it feels exciting because everybody is talking about play, whether it's activating play in organisations, building resilience through play, putting play in the external environment. And Play England is a really good place to start to find out where they were. Okay. Amazing. So they're talking about Plymouth, the city centre development where they've put play in the heart of the city. I'm the same in Sheffield. I was really lucky to be part of the development that happened. They put Pounds Park in. It was going to be a car park. It is now a huge playground. And I can tell you, people of all ages play there at all times of the day in different ways. And it says we allow people to have fun and connect. Lovely. Yeah. And it enriches life for all of us. I'm very happy you had such a lovely time on the NCU when your play specialist was playing with you. Yeah. Hi. Yeah. Which shows the power of play. Yeah. So I actually had almost exactly the same conversation last night when I was having my tea, and I was talking about clowning, and I was talking about the buffoon, which is a type of clown that is about power. And I was saying I can think of two examples of a very strong buffoon characters. And weirdly enough, everybody knew who I was talking about. And yeah, it has power. They play that role. They use that technique to bring power. We can do it for good. It's like the joy of Mr. Bean, isn't it? I mean, he's a brilliant clown. So it's that thing of like, you know, that magic. It's everywhere. Yeah. No outcome. Talking about those opportunities to go on retreats, workshops where the adults come together and play. Yeah. Play is there at the moment, and I think it's a really brilliant time. And I think just being able to think a little bit about where play can bring that power in your own life to to activate for yourself, for the joy in yourself, but also for people around you. Thank you for coming. I am going to say that is probably our time. I'm so grateful for you all coming and listening. It's been really nice to spend a little bit of time with you all. Please do come down to the Play Shapes, come talk to us or come play. You're more than welcome. But yeah, have an amazing festival. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.